has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, April 23rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got Barry Kite here, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got some green on the screen today on this Taco Tuesday. The Dow is up 167 right now. Now, it's been having a hard time hanging on to those gains throughout the day, so we'll see where we end. That's what really matters is where we end the day. But we're up 167 right now in the Dow, 38,407. We're about 5% off of the recent high. The Nasdaq's up 162 today to 15,613. That's 1%. It gave up its gains and then some yesterday throughout the day. We'll see what holds today. A lot of earnings to talk about today. The small caps are up 92 basis points. That's pretty good. The S&P is up 75 basis points. It's back above 5,000. 5,048. I can tell you that all three indexes are betwixt and between their 50-day and 200-day moving averages. Was this kind of nowhere land right now, and it's a toss-up as to which way they'll go. Crude oil up a penny to 81.91 as Middle East tensions settle down a little. Gold is coming back. It's down $4 to 23.42, and Bitcoin is up 545 to 66,712. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, you know, the market is betwixt and between right now. We've had a 5% correction or thereabouts. The real question right now is, are we going to get another 5%, which would make for a 10% correction, which would take us down to some key support levels and also make the market a little bit more affordable. You're at 19.9 times forward earnings. I'd like to see it come down to 19, personally. Or do we, all of a sudden, does the market pick itself up by the bootstraps here after a 5% quick one and done and rebound? Well, we'll watch it day by day. I have my theory on which way I think it's going to go from here, and I also am prepared for either scenario. The market rebounded a little bit yesterday, but, you know, kind of gave up the ghost during the day. Gold and silver continue to drop. That's an indication that at least the Iran versus Israel, that's the big one, okay? The market's pretty much used to Israel versus Hamas. The market's pretty much used to what's going on in that northern border with Hezbollah. But when Iran, for the first time in history, attacks Israel, that's a big deal. And, of course, Israel strikes back. They keep it contained. And the market seems to say, okay, that's over with. Well, it's not over with, but the market... is the nerves of the market aren't as tense as they were earlier in the week and late last week. You're seeing that with gold and silver dropping. We had a good day yesterday. The Chinese stocks had a good day yesterday. Oil and gas stocks seem to be coming back a little bit.
They followed on our heels. So I was looking at the after hour, you know, yesterday evening. I kind of flipped by a couple of the financial channels, and Asia was kind of piggybacking on the rally that we had here yesterday in the U.S.
And I think the jury's still out as to whether or not China's economy is picking back up again. The banks had a pretty good day. A big experiment in Argentina, you know, at least the market thinks it's going to work. The chainsaw, I can't think of his name right now, the leader of Argentina,
I'll come
Macro or Macri or something like that. And the Argentinian stocks have actually been doing quite well lately. There is an Argentina ETF A-R-G-T.
It's Javier, is it Malay? M-I-L-E-I?
Yeah, he's a funny, he's the kind of,
looks
like Elvis.
You're better at the pronunciation.
He looks like Elvis Presley. I mean, it's a weird combination of things coming together all at once. But you know what the heck? Nothing has worked in the past in Argentina.
It's funny. His hairstyle looks like all of the, basically the kids between, you know, my 12-year-old and 17-year-old, right?
Sideburns. Yeah. He needs to take a chance out of those sideburns. Okay, we're going to get a lot of earnings here today. The biggest being Tesla. You know, Tesla's not as big as it used to be. Because Tesla was a hot stock, and now it's been a sinking stock here recently. But we will be watching Tesla's earnings. We're going to go through a lot of earnings that have come in already. General Electric, General Motors, Lockheed Martin, Pepsi, Freeport-McMoRan, Philip Morris, UPS, Spotify, and my favorite, the diaper stock, Kimberly-Clark. And I'm going to go through the returns of these stocks over the years, okay? And you'll see why I call some of these the diaper stock or stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear that have not done much for the last decade, okay? They've taken the decade off. So why should you own a stock that has taken the decade off? I like to own best stocks now. Meta will report tomorrow. That's going to be a big one, I think. That will be a big market mover. Lam Research, Chipotle, Hilton. And then on Thursday, you get one of the Fabulous Seven reporting in Google. Google's had a good chart lately. I gave up on it, I guess, a little too soon. Never give up on these big, giant, dominating stocks.
Do we get Microsoft on
and
Thursday?
And Microsoft. Yeah, okay, so tomorrow, yeah. Meta, Microsoft, and Google, that's going to really move the markets.
I think Microsoft's on Thursday. What, today's Thursday?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah, so yes. Tomorrow, yeah, you get Meta and Google, and then we get...
That's
the,
all
get
I know. I get tacos for the price, two for the price of one, so it must be Tuesday.
We get four, yeah. So in other words, not that necessarily the Magnificent Seven exists anymore,
no.
But we get four of those seven names this week, being Tesla after the bell today, and then the three you just mentioned.
Yes, and I think that will help make up the mind. You know, the NASDAQ is drifting between its 50-day and its 200-day moving average on a technical chart. My experience just over the last 25 years of managing money professionally, that's a weak chart, okay? When you're in nowhere land like that, I've just found it now. The earnings could come in sensational from these four stocks over the next 3 days. And that could kick the NASDAQ back in gear and get it moving again. But in the meantime, you're kind of in nowhere land. You're holding support level. But overall, I would just say that all three indexes, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, are all pretty weak right now after a hellacious gain since January of 2023, which we called the bottom in the NASDAQ, and we got into those big NASDAQ stocks, and we rode it. And that cycle, you know, it doesn't go forever. There's some big long-term gains had by a lot of investors. Little bit of weakness comes along, like, cruise missiles being fired at Israel, and the market gets a little nervous and says, hey, this might be a good time to take a little bit of risk off the table here, cash in some of those profits. We just got hit with our tax bills on April 15th. We got a lot of taxes to pay. Let's take some of those gains in NVIDIA and Supermicro Computer, et cetera, to pay the IRS and the state, okay? And that's some of what's going on. And the second thing that's going on is this drift higher in interest rates, which has really caught the market by surprise. We're at 4.65 right now. That compresses the multiple. We were at 22 times forward earnings just about 8 weeks ago, I'm going to guess. Now we're at 19.9. And what's compressing that multiple? Rising interest rates. And if those rates start to come back in, I think they could be headed to 5. Okay, that's just from a technical point of view. I don't see much stopping interest rates from going to 5%. But a nice, cool PCE report. When's that, Friday?
Yeah, this Friday. That would be really nice.
That would
right?
cool things down.
Well, yeah, let's get a, you know, if we get a great report from Microsoft, also we could, you know, also show a bunch of CapEx spending that they're you know, spending on AI and buying chips and everything else, and we get a good PCE number, well then,
a
you know,
nice,
we got a new narrative.
PCE on ice with a little bit of lemon, maybe a little bit of mint. You
well,
know,
when we come back,
cool things down.
Yeah, when we come back, the PM, I mean, PMIs actually, both of the manufacturing and services were a little cooler. I think one of them was coolest since,
well,
since
and that's the third
late
thing.
Last year. So.
Okay, everybody's waiting for a slowdown in the economy, and we have seen just a few chips in the chip sector. You know, between Taiwan Semiconductor and ASM Lithography saying, you know, things are slowing down just a little. And that was enough to take quite a bit out of the chips on Friday. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we do have some gains going on in the market right now. The question is, will they hold up during the course of the day? We'll find out. Dow up 167 right now. NASDAQ up 189. I'm not really seeing the likes of Microsoft, NVIDIA, AMD. I'm not really seeing those stocks participating today, but hey, it's a pretty decent day in the NASDAQ today. And again, we remain kind of in nowhere land between the 50-day moving average, which is considered intermediate term, and the 200-day moving average, which is long-term moving average. And it would not surprise me to see us end up somewhere near that long-term moving average. We'll see. We take it a day at a time. In the meantime, I mean, we still own a lot of stocks on the long side, and we're up 80 basis points today, so we're happy with that. But we are hedged a little bit right now also, just in case. Now, let's take a look at some other news. You know, Amazon has not really... Has not really sold off or corrected at all, hardly, during this correction. Amazon is rolling out a low-cost grocery delivery subscription. You know, Barry, one of the things, I do like getting out like one night a week or one evening a week just to get out of the, you know, and go down to the grocery store and do a little shopping, maybe pick out a few cheese, fancy cheese and a ribeye, whatever the case may be. And, of course, then all of the staples. which is most of the basket, and you see the price going up every single week.
Yeah, we got to do our boots on the ground research.
Yeah, boots on the ground research. So Amazon will deliver now for $9.99 per month, unlimited grocery delivery, and that's a new thing in 3,500 cities. Now you have to order more than $35, and of course, Amazon. Let's not forget, we kind of. Forget that they own Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, now where do they get the groceries? I mean, I know because
I think I just those two, Amazon Fresh and Amazon Whole Foods Market, which are about twice as much as
I was about to say, that's what I was curious, if they're running people into, you know, Kroger and Harris Teeter or Publix to buy food versus going to Whole Foods. But I did see, and I don't know if, I guess Arizona's must be the testing center for a lot of this stuff. I saw where I think Amazon's going to start drone deliveries too, and they're starting. They're going to start in the state of Arizona.
Well, there's not a lot of trees.
Not a lot of trees in
Arizona.
Yeah, well, and they had the self. Remember, they tried the self the self driving piece there. Remember, Tesla was doing some of the self driving or. Not self-driving.
Robo-taxi,
basically. So.
Robo-delivery. Well, you know, look, this Scandinavian has a hard time paying Whole Food Market salmon prices. You know, I mean, look, organic salmon, I don't know. I'm okay with Walmart salmon. It's fresh. It's good. Apple's iPhone sales in China, listen to this, tumble 19% in Q1. Man, I'm glad I saw something. Just not, Apple was not behaving well. We sold it quite some time ago. It's just a dead stock right now. I don't know. I kind of wonder about our friend that's running it, Cook, whether or not he's the guy for the job right now. It seems like they need some invigoration there. Sales have been flat now for four straight quarters, and iPhone sales down 19%. That is not good at all. Okay,
and just one of those things. It's always I always get intrigued by these companies, right? Where great product or product we use every day. I mean, I probably have 20 different or more devices and Apple devices in the house, right?
But what have you done for me lately?
No, exactly. From a stock standpoint, it's just not a great company, not a good stock.
I was waiting for an Apple car, and that's done. And now it's supposed to be personal robots. Well, we'll see. J.P. Morgan's Marko Kalanovich, I call him Kalamityvich, says the correction in stocks isn't finished yet. Well, the current slump in stocks and bonds isn't over. Like I said, I outlined it in my newsletter over the weekend. I looked at it from several different angles. I spent a lot of time on Saturday writing that thing. From a valuation point of view, you need to go down another 5% to get in that 19 PE range. From a technical point of view, you need to go down another 4 to 6% to get down to those moving averages. So he thinks there's more to come. He thinks, this is Marko Kalanovich. Now, this is J.P. Morgan's guy. But I do think that wasn't he demoted kind of a little bit lately?
Yeah, I know. Well, I know, and I know Mike Wilson was at Wells Fargo, but he may. I'm not 100% sure. And actually, I saw Mike Wilson made it back to TV yesterday. Of course, that's because we had a pullback.
They bring him out on big down days.
They do, but he's a little more constructive, actually than he has been in the past. Apparently, He's decided that he's going to go more on the individual stock realm instead of making those huge
those wrong
calls.
Especially when you're wrong all the time. You better. I don't know if you're wrong on the macro calls. I don't know how you can be right on the individual stocks. But we'll
I guess
see.
You got more chances because you got a bunch of stocks out there. You only got a few indices, right?
Well, Kalanovich, he characterizes the 5% drop this month as a correction, but he thinks there's further. He's citing the same two problems I just mentioned: inflation stubbornness and geopolitical tensions unlikely to go away anytime soon. I agree with both of those. Okay. All right, now we have, that's not good for the iPhone. China reportedly bought NVIDIA AI chips embedded in Supermicro and Dell servers. So this whole business of trying to keep NVIDIA chips out of the hands of China, they've already got them. And I suspected as much. I said this a couple weeks ago. One of the reasons why none of those missiles got through to Israel was the better technology that Israel has, and it comes down to a lot is in the semiconductors that they have, the chips. And that's why we're trying to keep them out of Chinese hands, because we continue to have military superiority. But Chinese research institutes have been able to buy NVIDIA's high-end artificial intelligence chips through resellers, according to documents reviewed by Reuters, underscoring the challenges the U.S. faces in restricting chip exports to China. Qualcomm gains as benchmark initiates coverage with the buy rating. We like Qualcomm. I was down on Qualcomm for many, many years. I was there in San Diego when Qualcomm went public. I had many people that I knew that worked for Qualcomm. They have great engineers there. They haven't had much of a hit in many years, maybe a decade. But maybe they've got something going here in the AI space. I like Qualcomm too right now. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this is the section of the show, Barry, where we're going to hold CEOs accountable for the returns they've given to shareholders over the years. Okay, and that was a big part of the app that I developed that goes out, brings in data on about 5,300 stocks, ETFs, mutual funds every evening, and calculates the performance numbers, number one. Number two, calculates the valuation of the shares. These are all the formulas that I put into it, and then weighs those two together and gives the stock an overall ranking. Now, in my book, really, performance comes first, all right? And then when I see the performance, then I want to see, well, how much do I got to pay for that performance, all right? That's number two. So let's start with GM. GM shares buoyed by an impressive Q1 results, higher fiscal year 24 profit guidance. So that's good. They're in the S&P 500. They beat and they raise. That's the best of both worlds. GM is up 5% today. Not bad. And it has a pretty good chart. Now, GM, Mary Barra, right? How have you done for shareholders as far as those that have invested in the stock? The dividend yield is 0.9%, so it's negligible, all right? You're not getting a whole lot from the dividend. Over the last decade, over the last 10 years, the stock has delivered to investors, what do you think? Here's the benchmark, 16.9.
I got them cheating. Okay, well then you don't count.
16.9% is the S&P 500. That's the benchmark, Mary Barra. You've returned 2.4%. Now, I could have done that with the CD in the bank and not had any risk. How about the recent 5 years? Well, 1.6% per year versus 14 for the S&P. How about the latest 3 years? Minus 8.7%, while the S&P's been positive 6.7. Not too good. But lately, okay, there's been a little bit of lift here recently, and I don't know why. I mean, over the last 12 months, it's up 29%, while the S&P's up 21%. So she's had a good 12 months. But over the long haul, the performance grade is D. The momentum grade is B minus. Little bit of activity lately. So, okay, well that activity lately will at least cause me to take a look here at the valuation of the shares of GM. Is it a good value? Has it got 80-90% upside potential over the next? That's all I ask. That's not asking a lot. You know, that's just giving me S&P 500 returns maybe over the next 5 years and maybe a little bit extra. Which we call alpha, my valuation on it gives me 69% upside potential over the next 5 years. And it's choppy, right? Auto sales are choppy. The auto industry is a tough industry to invest in.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very interest rate sensitive, too. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems recently. If anyone's gone and even priced a car,
well, sure.
You know, you would throw
throw a
payment on there. For car prices nowadays, it doesn't take much to get that payment over $1,100,
no.
Which,
yeah.
You know.
That used to be my house payment.
I was about to say, if you had an $1,100 car payment, you know, 15 years ago, you'd be driving around a Porsche.
But there's no inflation. Let's see. So GM is ranked number 800. It's not one of my, it's not on my all-star portfolios that I call all-stars of best stocks now. GM's not there. Okay, let's go to the next one. Look, I'm an equal opportunity analyst. I'll give everybody a chance to prove it to me that you can get, okay, Philip Morris. All right, now everybody over there on Seeking Alpha, oh, they love Philip Morris. And I'll tell you why they love Philip Morris. For whatever reason, Seeking Alpha readers tend to skew towards dividends. And you can buy Philip Morris and you can get a dividend yield of 5.4% per year. And Philip Morris is having a good day. It's up 2.6%. But I would ask, is cigarettes, tobacco, and nicotine products a growth industry anymore? I think there's a struggle there. So now let's take a look at capital appreciation, because I'm all about total return, not just the dividend. It's like a rental unit. I want a little condo that goes up in value, and I'm getting a nice rent on it. I want total return. So let's put PM under the microscope. Vinny, VD, VC, I came, I saw, I conquered. That's what's on there. I know that because my father used to paint Marlboro billboards. And that's what that little word says on the pack, Vinny, VD, VC.
Is that what that says?
Yes, it does. Okay, now the performance of the stock over the last 10 years, 1.2% per year. Throw the dividend in there and you got a 6%, okay? Mediocre. I mean, 1.2%, the S&P's averaged 17 over the last 5 years, 2% a year. Over the last 3 years, nothing, zero. And over the last 12 months, the stock's down 2.7% while the S&P's up 21.4%. So basically, you know, if you give somebody 100 grand and they say, I'll pay you 5% a year if you give me 100 grand, and 20 years later, your 100 grand is gone because they've been paying you 5% per year, right? You're getting a return of principal. So it's a lousy investment. But I know there's the dividend people out there that say, well, you know, where can you get a dividend like that? It's
more
a return of principal.
Yeah,
what
well,
it is.
Basically is, and it's a taxable return of principal, too. I mean,
yeah.
You got to think, especially if you're in a taxable account, I mean, dividends are taxed as ordinary income.
That's right.
So,
okay, my favorite stock, Kimberly-Clark, the diaper stock, which, look, these three stocks are in most wirehouse portfolios that come to me. People finally figured out that, hey, they've just got me in a bunch of good names that looks like a nice warm security blanket, but these stocks have not returned anything over the years. Kimberly Clark, here's the truth. 10 years, 2.2% return versus 16.9% just by the S&P 500. Why buy Kimberly Clark? Over the last 5 years, 0.5% a year return over the last 12 months, minus 7.3. Well, what's the opposite of alpha called? Is there a name for that? Is it delta or I don't know?
Slippage?
That is alpha.
Underperformance?
Alpha is overperformance of your stock versus the S&P. When it underperforms this badly, you've got a stinker of a CEO. There's got to be things you can be inventing. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, hey, why does anybody own the stock? Okay, let's go to the next one here. There are a lot of stinkers here today.
Yeah, no fancy name for underperformance.
No.
Negative alpha is what comes up on a I've never seen it in my
negative
textbooks.
Alpha.
And, yeah, they refer to it as negative alpha.
Well, there's not a website called Seeking Negative Alpha that I know of. you do that for very long, deliver negative alpha, and you've got no clients left. Okay, now let's see. The next one that I'm going to pull up here under the microscope is Pepsi. Okay, Pepsi, great stock. I mean, you know, look, what, and they've invested heavily in the energy drinks and this and that. But overall, you know, look, I remember years ago, when I was a teenager, not even a teenager, sitting with my grandmother in Bakersfield and watching Bonanza on a Sunday evening, and for a treat, she would pull out a couple of cold Pepsis in a bottle, not plastic, in a glass bottle, okay? Pepsi's been around a long time. The performance of the stock over the last 10 years, 7.6. Well, that's better, but it's half the S&P 500. 5-year performance, 6.8, half of the S&P 500. And over the last 12 months, it's down 4.8%. And the S&P is up 21.4. Now, the next time you sip on an ice cold Pepsi, it's not going to taste as good, is it? Especially if you own the stock. You're going to say, ugh, that's terrible performance. Well, okay, it's a quarter of a trillion dollar company, mega cap. It's in the Dow and all and everything. Or is it? I think Coca-Cola's in the Dow. But it's not a very good performance, a terrible performance. And yet it's in many, many portfolios that come to me. Let's see if we can throw in one more here real quickly before. How about Lockheed Martin? Well, you know, it depends. It depends on geopolitics. But even with the war going on, Lockheed's down 6% over the last 12 months while the market's up 21.4. So you won't find Lockheed in our portfolios. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I call the performance numbers the big lie detector, the real revealer of the truth there. You can't hide behind the performance numbers. And I would never, ever even think of buying a stock without looking at what it's done in the past. You know, I think a lot of people buy stories. They buy names. Somebody convince them, you know, they can make a case because, well, there's war, so Lockheed's going to be a good stock.
Raytheon's or buy gonna, something they're familiar with, you know.
Or something like, they're familiar
it's
with.
It's like holding Apple forever because I have an Apple phone in my pocket forever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I probably will have an Apple phone in my pocket for a while until.
Yeah. So anyways, that's just a piece of advice from a guy who's been looking at stocks. And at some point in my career, I said, you know what? I think the most important thing is looking at the past performance. You know, when I was younger, my father used to take me to the horse races. And that was a great afternoon to spend with Dad, you know, out at Santa Anita Racetrack. I saw some of the great champions of all time. But it was all about past performance, right? You would look at the 8 or 9 horses running in the race, and you'd see one guy has never won. I mean, like 25 times he's never won. What would you think? He's going to all of a sudden wake up and win? And, you know, another horse was like,
today's the day.
So obviously, I remember one time my wife and I were at Pomona Racetrack Fairplex, which was a bull ring, a half mile track, and it was bank turns. It was quite exciting. There were a lot of spills there. And we saw a horse run. His name was the Whole Enchilada. We went and looked at him just for fun because he was 0 for 100.
Oh, for 100. He's a great pace horse, right?
And we went and looked at him. He looked like he was half asleep, didn't want to be there. Flies were buzzing in and out of his eyeballs, and he just was sleepy. And so, really, the Whole Enchilada is going to wake up? And so I'm just saying that the same. Look, when a batter comes up to the plate and he's batting 325 with 12 home runs, you're going to pitch a lot more carefully to him than a guy that's batting 121 with no home run. Past performance in every sport means a lot, okay? Even right down to monster trucks. I had to go to Monster Truck Saturday with the grandkids, and, you know, they tell me this guy's the best driver out there. And sure enough, I mean, he's the one that held the upright position and did the flips while the others couldn't do it. So anyways, past performance is critical in judging a stock. And then, of course, past performance is backwards looking. Valuation is forwards looking. That's why I combine those two with the app that I invented for me. I invented the app for me so I could cut through the crap I hear on CNBC and the and all these guys out there. I'd want to cut through the crap. I don't need a 12-man investment committee. You know, I just need a little truth. Look at some pictures, some charts and whatnot, and I'm able to cut through a lot of the BS, is what I call it. All right, now, what's moving? I want to do one mother stock just for fun because it's so bad. It's really bad. UPS. All right, UPS reports today. They're not even the biggest. Amazon is the biggest delivery company now. The performance of UPS, it was so bad, I got to bring it to your attention. Over the last 5 years, 5% a year return. Over the last 3 years, minus 6 per year. That adds up in three years.
Yeah.
And in the last 12 months, UPS is down 25%, while S&P's up 21. So you think all of a sudden it's going to turn around and be this winning stock? I don't think so. Okay, now let's take a look at today's market. We do have an update going on. We're hanging on to the gain so far, but it's all about the close. Let's look at the NASDAQ first. The biggest winner in the NASDAQ today, yeah, see, it's not the big tech stocks. That worries me. But there is a little bounce in the chips. NVIDIA is up 3.6% today. Pfizer is the biggest winner. It's up 5.6. Not a very consequential stock in the NASDAQ. Illumina is up 3.8%. Hasbro is up 3.5. And then you're seeing a little bit of tech. Meta's up 2.4. ASM is up 2.3. The biggest loser in the NASDAQ today, Pepsi. Believe it or not, Pepsi's in the NASDAQ.
Yeah, and they hadn't even looked at their report, and it's not one that's normally high up on my list. But they,
no.
I think they, have, if I remember right, they had a pretty surprising blowout quarter last quarter. So it'll be interesting just to see kind of what that dynamic is.
Now, some people
are they the ones with the investment in Celsius?
Monster, I think. And Celsius.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, some people will look at their portfolio and they own all of these stinkers that I talk about, and they call up their broker and start just screaming, why don't I own these stocks? You know, Bill Gunderson says, you just look up the performance for yourself. Take a look at every stock your guy or gal has you in and look them up for yourself. Do your own. That's pretty easy research to do, to find the 1, 3, 5, 10-year performance. And then you know what they'll say? Well, you know, you're not going to lose any money. It's not going to go out of business. Well, okay. Now, let's take a look at the S&P 500. That is a very, boy, there's some stinkers there. Xerox? Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, time has passed Xerox by, down 11%. MSCI, that kind of surprised me. They're the one that make all these international indexes and whatnot, down 12.4%. And LKQ, which is an auto salvage kind of company, down 12.7. Nucor down 6.2. That's not good. Ameriprise down 3.4. Now, on the upside, there it is. I didn't sell one share of it yet, but it sure got hammered on Friday. Super Microcomputer is up 9.2% today.
Talk about some volatility in that.
Look, up in the air. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Super Microcomputer up 9.2% today.
That's a fun chart for folks to take a look at.
Yep, and some would say, well, look, Gunderson, my Kimberly Clark's up 5.6%. Well, look at the 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year. Track record is just not very good. So that's it. We covered a lot of ground today.
Procter & Gamble, that's the other one I was trying to think of.
Yeah,
when you were going to the break a couple of segments ago in terms of what's one to look at. That's another one we always end up seeing.
Well, get the app, $9.99 a month at Gunderson, at BestStocksNowApp.com to set up an appointment with us. We'll review your stocks. We'll show you the returns on those stocks you own. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.